Final hour of the program on this Christmas Eve. Having a great time with you. Brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Emails are flowing in. RomeAtHaveATake.com. You can tweet at me. It is BW Weber. Weber with two B's. And I may have the ability and the mindset to squeeze in another call or two, depending on how things play out in this final hour of the program. 1-800-636-8686. We went heavy with calls in the first hour, no calls in the second hour, which I thought was a better hour. Coming up in 40 minutes, we'll check in with a man who belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not throwing out that kind of platitude just because we're friends and we work together doing Red Zone Radio. It's Eric Allen, the former NFL cornerback, six-time Pro Bowler, patrolled the secondary for the Raiders. We'll talk about the future of Derek Carr. Is he going to be left behind when the team goes to Nevada? Plus, he shined in Philadelphia with the Eagles now on the cusp of winning that division. They should beat the Giants. Could Philadelphia, with the ability to host a playoff game, and if the seedings hold up, it would be Seattle. Can the Eagles be more than one and done? So if you want to chime in with a phone call, do it now. I'm open to taking a couple calls in 20 minutes. 1-800-636-8686. Straight ahead, we'll talk another primetime issue for Kirk Cousins. And yeah, we can focus on the particulars of an abysmal record on Monday night, winless now 0-9, but he's not much better on Thursday night, not much better on Sunday night. Don't think he ever played on a Saturday night, but if he did, probably lose that game. And what is Marshawn Lynch going to mean tangibly? Yeah, great story. Because he's going to want to get the football over and over and over and over.
Over and over and over.
And eat those Skittles.
Over and
ding, ding, sauce.
Over and
all
over,
about
over,
that action, boss.
Over,
and over. I'm just about that action.
But is this more than just nostalgia
and
novelty?
Over.
Feels like a gimmick.
Over.
And we know Pete Carroll loves the past.
Over and over.
Still thinks that Reggie Bush has that Heisman, even though somebody bought his parents a house, allegedly.
Over.
I got a lot of doubts, but in the content creation business, it's a early holiday gift from Seattle. What's Marshawn going to mean on Sunday? With the division title on the line on Sunday Night Football, Seattle's already lost three home games this year, taking on a very complete team in the 49ers, although San Francisco has a lot of injuries on defense. I'm not totally sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners have played a series of games coming down to the final 10 seconds. Eventually, that can catch up to you. Okay, I go through all the radio formatics, reading the phone number and reading the email address. It's not that challenging because I do want to get interactive. So let's rifle through some tweets and then we'll talk Marshawn Lynch and Kirk Cousins having another failure on national television. The Great 12 Wood tweeting at us. Merry Christmas, P-Dub. Love hearing you on the show. My challenge to you is to tie in a Price is Right reference. The GOAT of game shows. Merry Christmas, Jim. The XR4TI clones love most of you. 12 Wood loves everybody. Okay, if we're doing Price is Right, obviously we're going old school, right? I mean, no disrespect to Drew Carey, but come on. If we're talking Price is Right, we're talking one man and one man only. Spayed or neutered your pet today. Goodbye, everybody. My goal is to be functioning when I'm Bob Barker's age. Not nearly that talented. Oh, Plinko. The bane of someone's existence when they thought they were on their way to the showcase. I'll give you a good documentary. Somebody figured out how to game the system on Price is Right. Check it out. The name escapes me right now. But it's right up there with the King of Kong. And yes, I could do game show talk all day long. I know a lot of you would prefer that. And I was born at the wrong time. Jim Perry, the great Wink Martindale, we're all rooting for Alex Trebek. Game show hosting used to be an art, and now Michael Strahan and Alec Baldwin are just stealing money. We move on. emails. B-Web, did you say you have a studio apartment? If you want to upgrade to a two-bedroom, I'm always looking for a roomie, but please bring your own clothing hamper. Signed, Najee Davenport. Another contemporary reference. Brian and Charlotte wore Ira Craig making a Christmas tree from empty Dos Equis bottles. Moving on. Sorry, but feast mode, biscuits and gravy for the last 18 months is no way to prep for what is essentially an NFL playoff game. Prediction, Lynch pulls a hammy on his second carry. Niners put an emphatic end to his career. Mike the Snowbird. You might be onto something there because according to reports, as recently as last week, the final Raider game in Oakland, Beast Mode was spotted having a good time partying with Raider fans in the parking lot, imbibing some tequila, but he's an interesting cat. Maybe that's just how he gets ready for a game. B-Web, we also think bringing back Beast Mode to the Seahawks is a good idea. Signed, left bringing back old-ass clones in walkers to the studio. Eric in Colorado. That picture was great, my man. I remember reading that in Sports Illustrated when I asked to subscribe, but I'm also damn old. Finally, wore Marshawn Lynch going into obese mode, wore the fat alarms. That's my version of the U-Log. You just put that on a loop for 24 hours, and we can mock the U-Log all you want, and you can say, okay, boomer, and I know all my references are circa 1985. You know what the number one rated show on local TV in your market's going to be this week? The U-Log. Not a elephant. Okay, let's get to some actual football, because it's easy to say Marshawn Lynch is just going to be a colossal failure. And you'd have the facts on your side if you made that argument. 33 years old, hasn't played competitive football in a year and a half. And when we're joined by Eric Allen, the former NFL defensive back in 30 minutes, I'll ask him how anybody, even someone who is as unique as Marshawn, can make that kind of transition. Now, according to reports, once he got the sense, talking about Marshawn, that Seattle might have interest in the reunion, he immediately went into hardcore training. Okay? We know that he is an emotional guy. And beyond the ability to help Russell Wilson in pass protection, because Russell's back there running for his life, also knowing Dwayne Brown, Seattle's best offensive lineman, is banged up in addition to their top three running backs. That's why they went old school and sign Robert Turbin and Beast Mode. Russell Wilson needs some help because the wide receiving core is thin. Home field advantage is gone this year. Wasn't just Kyler Murray. Brett Hundley also carved up that defense on Sunday when Murray got hurt. And Seattle virtually has no defense anymore. And I realize I should not be stuck in a view of a franchise having an identity that's a concept from 5 years ago, but we think Seattle, for years it was Legion of Boom-centric. Now it's all about Wilson. So Russ needs all the help he can get. Not a lot of risk here because it's basically a two-game rental. Marshawn's going to show up for Sunday and then the playoff game. I'm just not convinced there wasn't a better option out there. I mean, if we're going to go older running back, what about C.J. Anderson? Remember what he did for the Rams last year? Came out of nowhere and gave them a major lift because that was effectively what felt like the beginning of the end for Todd Gurley as he disappeared down the stretch, non-factor in the postseason and the Super Bowl, and has been wildly erratic this year because I believe that report that he's dealing with an arthritic condition in his knee. Go back to Georgia when he had the torn ACL. Gurley, unfortunately, I think his damaged goods, and now the Rams are going to have to try to figure out how they can get away from the guaranteed money that they gave him. They're not going to move on from Jared Goff because they believe he's the face of the franchise, and they'll try to build around the defense. But there was a Mike Silver report for NFL Network that the Rams are already doing the cap math to try to figure out the most straightforward way of parting company or restructuring Todd Gurley. But if I'm just picking names out there, C.J. Anderson comes to mind, but he's not a Seattle alum, and this feels like more than just a football transaction. That because the Seahawks were flat at home on Sunday, Pete Carroll is looking for some juice, and Marshawn Lynch is going to bring that personal identity based on who he is, the crowd, which has been vocal as always in Seattle, but not a factor because they're not defending the home field the way they have in the past, will be out of their minds. You put Marshawn Lynch in that locker room, that's another asset, but I don't think he's doing much on the field. And if this is strictly a football decision, I think they could have done more, as the Vikings could have done better under center. And it's just too easy to focus on a few numbers when it comes to Kirk Cousins. Now 0-9 on Monday Night Football and $84 million fully guaranteed. That's the key element there, because it's funny money in the NFL. If you read the paper, and that's a huge assumption, it's that thing your parents hold in their hands when they're drinking coffee, ignoring you in the morning, that thing. Don't look at the overall number of an NFL contract. Look at the fully guaranteed amount. Well, Cousins was Houdini financially, in addition to all the guaranteed money he got from Washington, who preferred to rent him with a franchise tag. And that should have told Minnesota all they needed to know. The team that knew him best would not commit to him. Not once, but twice. And then let him walk. So Cousins has been limited for a long time. And this feels like it's between his ears as much as anything else. For whatever reason, you put him on national TV at night, and he's a totally different player. And yeah, he was missing Dalvin Cook. And that's a huge loss, because if you track the Vikings every Sunday, it was Cook who's the heart and soul of that offense. But if you believe your quarterback is a frontline starter, he's got to do more than that horrendous performance. 122 passing yards, a grisly pick into double coverage. Vikings had less than 140 yards as a team. And remember, they got the gift of three turnovers and still only had seven first downs. If the Packers hadn't been that generous, what do you think the final score would have looked like? So, Minnesota fans, you're stuck. Back to that term of fully guaranteed. You're not winning a playoff game. You're not doing anything next year, so long as that's your quarterback. And I don't have answers for you. I know I'm supposed to be able to come up with exotic theories as the fill-in host. Sometimes, let me dust off cliche number 27, it is what it is. Coming up in 20 minutes, we take you round the league with Eric Allen, the former NFL quarterback, straight ahead. Back to the NBA. Five games coming up tomorrow. It's the Battle of LA, Lakers and Clippers. With all of their load management, how much do the Clips even care about the regular season? If they don't, why should you? That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome on this Christmas Eve here on CBS Sports Radio.
Scrivens has an answer.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Christmas Eve here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit me up on Twitter during or after the program. It's BW Weber, and the emails have been outstanding today. Rome at haveatake.com. Here's the good news. If you've enjoyed the last 2.5 hours, I'm back with you on New Year's Eve. Could be bad news as well. Either way, have a marvelous holiday, and we'll do it again in the week. But we're not done. 30 more minutes on the way. We'll get to the NBA, and then we'll wrap up the program. Looking forward to checking in with a very good friend. I think he's one of the most insightful football analysts in the entire business. It's Eric Allen, the former NFL cornerback, six-time Pro Bowler, former Raider and Eagle great. used to work on ESPN. Eric has strong opinions, but he's not a carnival barker. He gives you perspective without yelling. He leaves the yelling to me. Here's an email. Incredible guest host poll by Adam Hawk getting Tom Arnold to host on Christmas Eve. Please have him break down what it was like to work with Arnold on True Lies. Signed, Brian and Charlotte. War B. Webb being inducted into the PBA Hall of Fame.
Scribbins has an answer.
Well, you're being too kind on a few fronts. I don't get the Tom Arnold thing. I know I speak quickly. Not that fast. I don't look like Tom Arnold. Do I? I'm not doing personal appearance references. I know it's not show fodder. The one I get when I fill in here is Steve Carell for some reason. And now I'm getting very egocentric. Big departure. Thank you, Brian. Although, if I'm going to be candid, being inducted into the PBA Hall of Fame would be a stretch. A reminder, that drop, which has changed my life, I am now part of Alvin's soundboard, came from the Intercollegiate Bowling Championship on the late CSTV, which is now CBS Sports Network, proud home of the Jim Rome simulcast, from the Cherry Bowl in Rockford, Illinois. I was so good at faking my bowling knowledge, I came back for a second year. First year, I did it by myself because you really want a blowhard full of himself breaking down the turkey split. One footnote to the NFL conversation in advance of our chat with Eric Allen. Didn't talk a lot about what was working for the Packers last night, and it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. And that's more of the same from what we've seen this year, because Rodgers had less than 300 passing yards, no touchdowns, had that early pick, one of three generous turnovers committed by Green Bay. But the defense was reminiscent of what we saw from Mike Pettine's unit early in the year. Mike Pettine's squad, probably a better way to put that on this show. Aaron Jones has been an offensive lifeline. Two more rushing touchdowns last night. He's got 16 this season. If you want to go negative, you can say we've seen an erosion from Aaron Rodgers. Maybe the beginning of a decline. He did turn 36 a few weeks ago. I'm not buying it because I'm not just going to be a myopic prisoner of the numbers. And watching these games every Sunday, yeah, I'll concede that Rodgers is not making as many dazzling plays because he does not have to. Because he has more help. And because he has an innovative and creative play caller and new head coach Matt LaFleur. Plus, because they got a lot of help from Kirk Cousins with another shoddy performance under the bright lights of Monday Night Football last night. Green Bay, at worst, probably going to be the two seed. With that, you get a bye. So if you think that Rodgers is fading down the stretch because suddenly he got old, he's going to have a week off. Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine. And he's made it clear he wants to play until the age of 40. I think a lot of people overreacted to his candor talking about being on the back nine of his career. He didn't say he was on the 17th hole. He was being logical. Just do the arithmetic. If he's 36 and wants to get to 40, he's on that path. So reports of Aaron Rodgers' demise have been greatly exaggerated. Had a good NBA conversation in the last hour of the show with Steve Kyler from BasketballInsiders.com. And I defer to Steve on most important topics when it comes to what's happening in the NBA, what's happening. Adam Hawk walking into the studio. Thank you, Adam. Handing me a tweet from Bill Ferrari. Big fan of his work in the San Fernando Valley here in Southern California. Dirk Diggler, unavailable. Has QB Daniel Jones' solid rookie season been a bit of vindication for Giants GM Dave Gettleman? That's good producing, Adam. That's a real sports take. Thank you. Would you like me to pivot in that direction? Listening to the program very closely. I just said, let's hit the hardwood, and I was walking down the NBA trail. Let me pay that off. Thank you, because we're a full-service program. Daniel Jones, yes, and Jim has been fabulous again this year on the NFL Today. Daniel Jones needed what he did on Sunday against Washington to validate that Tampa Bay game. Because after that, you know, that was looking like an aberration. I'll give him credit, albeit against a terrible Washington team. Jones looked good. And the whole point of it in New York City is to have some hope. No one's putting him in the category of a franchise quarterback yet. I recall the outrage. I believe the kids say, you can find the receipts on my Twitter handle, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. I didn't love the pick coming out of Duke. I thought it was mostly about the coaching of what David Cutcliffe did for Jones. But so far, I would say he has exceeded expectations. And based on what he did on Sunday, he might buy his head coach, Pat Shurmur, one more year. So we have five NBA games tomorrow. And this is not the type of show to break down matchups. I'm not going to get into, well, the Heat used the zone against the Sixers last week. What's Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee going to do defensively? That's coming up on my podcast, In the Paint with B-Web. You can download that wherever you get podcasts. I think the more interesting view of the NBA is the notion that this league is going through a ratings crisis because the numbers are down and down markedly. Now, I think a lot of fans don't care about ratings as a metric of popularity, and they should. It's pretty straightforward. It's reflecting who's watching what, but there's never context. And the one unspoken element in any ratings conversation, beyond the power of the NFL and college football, had a very strong year as well, although college football attendance down. The NBA is following the dilemma that everybody other than the NFL, I'm talking network TV, streaming services, cable television, however you consume video content now, the audience is gone because you've never had more options than now. Let's say you tried to watch all the stuff out there. You'd have to quit your job, make it a full-time occupation, and you'd never catch up. So I'm not giving the NBA a pass, but I think we have to think about the overall landscape and say this is a byproduct of a world of endless options coupled with load management does not help. If you're tuning in to see stars and you get job because they rest, well, you might feel a little bit burned and inclined not to come back. There is the LeBron moving west factor. There is the decline of the Warriors. You can rip super teams, especially that one from the San Francisco Bay Area, saying they ruined the game forever because they were so reliant on the three, and they're not done yet. When Steph comes back and you get Klay Thompson back from the torn ACL next year, or maybe at the end of the season, although what's the point when they're lottery bound? Warriors are going to be relevant again. But the NBA is better when they have super teams because if you think about the history of the league, the entire NFL model is built on parity. The NBA is about a handful of clubs who've won it all. Old school Lakers and Celtics, Jordan's Bulls, LeBron's Heat, plus Dwayne Wade winning a title. Factor in the Pistons, Bad Boys, and then the Rip Hamilton squad. So the NBA has always been top heavy. So I don't think it's a great explanation that somehow the Warriors slipping has caused casual fans to stay away because now you have the making of a new super team with the Clippers. But the problem is because Kawhi Leonard has to follow his own best interest, knowing this is a chronic injury and knowing that it worked a year ago all the way to a title in Toronto, he's just not going to play every night. So I think these are systemic problems that the NBA just has to accept. But no business leader, no one making the kind of money that Adam Silver is taking home, can turn to ownership and say, well, I'm out of ideas. Let's go have lunch. You have to have an open mind, especially this league that knows what it used to be. I'll mention again, because I don't care. You can track down every detail of my life. I recently turned 50. If I cough into the mic, I'll sound 75. You never know. It's cold and flu season here in Southern California. I'm old enough to remember late 1970s when the NBA Finals was tape delayed, 11:30 Eastern on CBS. The NBA knows its past. Bird and Magic changed everything. Jordan took it to new heights. But the new normal is, I think, where we are now. Not the Twitter universe that loves the NBA. And one of my favorite assignments years ago doing local TV in the San Francisco Bay Area was working with the Warriors. Being around an NBA club is fun. It's a traveling rock band. These guys have a great life. And most of them are transparent. They let you in on social media. So kids love it. But just because someone's connecting with an NBA star on Instagram doesn't mean they're going to watch the game. Because it's not always about the game. It's about fashion. It's about baby mamas. It's about drama. In fact, it's about everything but the game for a large chunk of a younger generation of fans. So I think these issues are long-term. There's no easy fix. The idea of this in-season tournament is nonsense. It is desperation. It is saying the current format doesn't work, that we need to pay players for effort, that you're not watching now, so we're just going to blow everything up with a Hail Mary that I just don't think is going to create more interest. Look, I know it works in Europe, and I love Europe. I've enjoyed my vacations there, but you go to the beach in Europe, everyone's wearing Speedos. Just because that works in Europe doesn't mean it's going to work here in the States. That's certainly a reach for a metaphor, but you get my point. So I think, unfortunately, for the NBA, they're in a position that's going to be status quo moving forward. They will get a jolt next year with a healthy Kevin Durant. I don't want to be New York-centric, but you put Durant and Kyrie together in New York City with the foundation of a super team, especially in the East, the ratings will come back to a degree. But the days of Michael Jordan playing on Christmas Day on NBC getting a monster rating are gone, and they're never coming back. That's why we have five games tomorrow. And I know you're hanging out late on the East Coast, 10:30 Eastern, to watch the Pelicans. New Orleans without Zion on cable TV. The staff is enjoying a man and a microphone. It's going to be a chapter in my book, but we're going to get there. Passion and energy is the mantra. Coming up, will Beast Mode lift the Seahawks to a division title? Are the Raiders going to leave Derek Carr behind when they head to Vegas? We'll take you across the NFL with my pal, Eric Allen, the former NFL quarterback, six-time Pro Bowler, a former Raider and Eagle great. But first, it's time for a sports update. Jay Berman has all... Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Final segment on this Christmas Eve, and let's wrap it up with a good friend talking more NFL with Eric Allen, the former NFL quarterback. Spent 14 years in the league playing for the Eagles, Saints, and Raiders. Went to six Pro Bowls. Belongs in Canton, Ohio. One of these years, EA is going to get that call from the Hall. Eric, happy holidays. How are you?
Happy holidays, my main man. And that music takes me back to the old days of Jim Rome when he was here in San Diego. But I appreciate all the kind words. Let's get to some football.
Okay, no, but the show within the show is usually as compelling as the football conversation. So for a national audience, take us inside your relationship with Jim, because you're a San Diego native. You go way back with the Jungle.
Wow, I remember way back when he was doing nighttime radio here in San Diego, and his crew kind of first started, and he just had a unique way of connecting to the community. And I would go on his shows at times, and there was a real great following. And once you went on, you were kind of known of being one of the guys in the Jungle. So I really appreciate Jim giving me that olive branch. And I was on a couple nights after the whole fiasco with him and the quarterback for the Rams, who was eventually the quarterback, Jim Everett, for the New Orleans Saints when I was in the Saints. So it was a little bit uncomfortable, but I rolled with Jim all the way.
And
I'm not going to tell you which Jim, but noticed I rolled with Jim all the way.
I mentioned the Saints just to be comprehensive, but when we talk about Eric Allen, we talk about the Eagles and the Raiders, but I have to start with the return of Marshawn Lynch. We know Beast Mode is unique, but Eric, what kind of impact do you think he's going to have on Sunday after such a long layoff?
Yeah, without being able to have that contact and that timing with the offensive line. And it's a lot of new characters as far as Marshawn Lynch is concerned. So I expect him to be maybe the short yardage guy, sort of like what Zach Crockett was with us when I was with the Oakland Raiders back in the early 2000s, late 90s, as he would come in on short yardage. The fan base would get pumped up. You get the first down or you get a touchdown when you're within 5 yards, and everyone goes crazy. More so, though, I think the beast is going to be about that identity that the Seattle Seahawks want to be about. They want to be about ground and pound, setting up the terrific quarterback to be able to take advantage of play action. But I think it's really just about your mindset, who you want to be, what you are as a football team and as a program. And I think Beast Mode is all of that. He's all about being able to raise that level in the locker room more than anyone else at this point.
Talking NFL with Eric Allen, the former standout cornerback who shined in Philadelphia. So let's talk about your Eagles. Despite all of the injuries, they found a way to beat the Cowboys on Sunday. Now, if they beat the Giants, they win the division. Eric, do you think that win over Dallas was the most significant win of Carson Wentz's career?
Well, without a doubt, I think that was the biggest regular season game, or maybe game he's played, particularly this year, but maybe in his short career. And the Eagles and Wentz are a team that plays better when they're the underdog. And we know the great run they went on to win the Super Bowl, and they had all the underdog T-shirts. I think that's really what this team is about. All the injuries they have at all the skill positions, they've been able to bring in some guys, Ward and a couple other guys, to make some big plays for them. But they play so much better when they are counted out, when they are the underdog, when no one goes against them. I think it's better that they're going on the road, going a couple hours up on that bus ride to New Jersey. They're going to play the Giants. We're a talented football team. We know what Jones did last week, throwing 5 touchdowns. We know how great that running back is. But I give the Eagles a lot of credit being able to pick themselves up after all the injuries. Wentz, the last 4 or 5 weeks, have really carried this team on his back. And when they are the underdog, they play so much better than when everyone thinks that they're going to be the champion.
Eric Allen is our guest. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Eric, do you think there could be more to come for the Eagles if they win this game on Sunday? They take the division. They host a playoff game. Could face Seattle. I know the Seahawks won in Philadelphia earlier this year, but both teams dealing with a variety of injuries. You think the Eagles could make some noise in the playoffs?
Well, again, I think the Eagles defensively have played a little better, particularly in the pass defense side, and that is critical for this team. We know Fletcher Cox up front is going to cause havoc. Bradham and those guys, they do a really good job of stopping the run like they did against the Cowboys. I think when you're matched up against the Seattle Seahawks, who have a team that's focused on the run, you can really dedicate a lot of your players to stopping the run. As long as you have one or two guys in the secondary that can make a play here or there. And we saw that. We saw Sidney Jones rise up, make the play in the end zone, knock the ball away, and win the football game on the defensive side of the ball for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a question mark every single week, I think, for this Philadelphia Eagles football team. You're going to get some consistent play from Cox. You're going to get some consistent play from the linebackers. What happens is, when it's 3rd down and 10 or 4th down and you need to stop the team from getting a first down or getting a touchdown, who in that secondary is going to rise up and make the play? And if you have another guy that can make a play like that, they're going to have a really good chance against a Seattle team that's banged up and not accustomed to playing banged up and making big plays like the Eagles have done and proven that they can do the last 3 or 4 weeks. This football team right now, again, rolling with the underdog role, is really rolling right now with a hot quarterback and a couple key pieces on offense that could get back, meaning DeSean Jackson, the top breaker, the guy who's going to get on top of your defense and make big plays. If they can get this first win and get DeSean Jackson back, that can mean the total difference from this football team.
Taking you around the NFL with Eric Allen, the former NFL quarterback. EA, let's focus on another team used to play for, the Raiders. They need to beat Denver on Sunday, plus a ton of help to sneak into the postseason as a wild card. Probably not going to happen. So what do you make of the reports that the Raiders could be parting ways with Derek Carr in the offseason before they head to Vegas?
Well, yeah, that's huge right now. And I think when you're looking at these last three or four games, this is an audition for Derek Carr to find out if he is going to be the quarterback that's going to lead this team into Las Vegas and into the future. And again, I thought Jacksonville, I thought all shots were off. I thought there was no way he was going to be able to convince that Raiders personnel that he's kind of guy that can stay. But last week, I mean, he provided them great chances to win football and win the football game. By the way, he directed the two-minute drive. I mean, he was cautious with the ball, but he took opportunities and chances. I think it was big to have that awesome drive coming out of halftime, almost 7-8 minutes on the clock. And it was just like John Gruden ordered. Right before halftime, John got in his ear and said, here's what we want to do. So, again, the communication seems to be on par right now with the quarterback who's going to lead this team into Las Vegas at 10 again. Denver has been a very tricky spot for the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden. They have not been very successful, no matter what the cause. In the days that they were going to the playoffs and Super Bowls, they've always struggled in Denver. Now, if the Denver Broncos continue to play at this kind of level and make big plays with Dorsey and those guys, I think the Oakland Raiders can make some plays for playoff opportunities.
Getting you set for the regular season finale coming up Sunday in the NFL with Eric Allen. Eric, we talked about your connection to San Diego, and it's become even clearer the Chargers never should have left. They're virtually irrelevant in Los Angeles. Do you think Sunday in Kansas City will be Phillip Rivers' last game for the Chargers? And if he's done, what are they going to do at quarterback heading into that new stadium?
I'll tell you that, Brian. Who's going to be the guy going to the new stadium? I mean, they're talking about the quarterback change. They're talking about a running back change. Phillip Rivers, I think, is a Hall of Fame quarterback. These last two or three years, it's just not a good situation for him being in this small area in Carson, California. So the fans weren't able to kind of give him a great goodbye. I think this may be the end for this football team as far as Phillip Rivers is concerned, and that's a shame. I mean, he's been a great, viable quarterback for the San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers. I think this could be the end for him. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to transition to another team when you start to look at his career right now. Again, all those missed opportunities that the Chargers have had over the past 8 to 9 years with that great personnel. And still, when you look at them, they have outstanding personnel on offense and defense, just not consistent enough to be able to win a big game in a playoff against the Patriots or against another football team. And that is really the cause of all the frustration of Charger fans. And now moving into a new stadium, maybe without Melvin Gordon, maybe without Phillip Rivers, and that's not a good sign for Charger fans or the fan base in Los Angeles.
Eric, as always, we value the information. Have a great Christmas. Hope you and your family enjoy the rest of the holiday week. And I'll see you Sunday for 7+ hours of commercial-free content.
That's right, Brian. It's always great. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Tell Jim I said hello. And you guys have an outstanding day and an outstanding Christmas.
Thank you, Eric. He is terrific. In a world of screamers, and I'm raising my hand. You can see it through the app and the radio. I've been told my voice projects a little bit. Eric, thoughtful and hard-hitting analysis of the NFL. He knows what he's talking about. So many people to thank. Jim, Craig Kitchen, for this marvelous opportunity. Mark Chernoff, all the great people at CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to the XR4TI today. Adam Hawk, Alvin DeLauro, working on Christmas Eve. Thanks to all of you who called, tweeted, and emailed. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy the rest of the holidays. I'm Brian Weber, and I'll talk to you on New Year's Eve.